going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are sitting here tonight with Prince George's County's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks talking about all things Prince George's County. As always, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Madam County Executive, thanks for joining me again. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And good evening to all of your listeners as well. Always enjoy being on WHUR.
Let's talk about some issues. First of all, let's talk about some police issues right off the top. One of the more difficult issues that happened in the county last month was the shooting of a Leonard Lancelot Shand. He was shot to death, kept wielding two knives in Hyattsville. This was seen on video. It was very difficult to watch, even for those who did not actually see the incident to its completion. Your thoughts about that particular incident?
Well, as you know, this is an active investigation, and so I'm not able to actually discuss that particular incident. What I can tell you is that the Hyattsville City Police Department had the lead on that matter on that day, and they are leading the investigation into that case as well. But because of the nature of the investigation, it's a homicide investigation, I am not at liberty to discuss it at this point.
More broadly, we have seen some rather horrific homicides in the county. Obviously, one of the ones that does come to mind is the Uber shooting that happened also just a couple of weeks ago. From your perspective, how is the county addressing the issues regarding the homicide rate? Because D.C. is having similar issues.
Well, you know, I can tell you this. Last year, at the time that I was sworn into office, we were able to say that the crime rate in Prince George's County is the lowest that we have seen in 5 decades. And I can tell you that at this point, we are 18% lower than that. We are currently at 58 homicides right now at this point in the year. And although those 58 are far too many, I can tell you that the crime is down. Again, it is lower than it has ever been. We've never seen a crime as low as it is. We also have a closure rate that is just outstanding, 86% closure rate for homicides. And so it is not accurate to say that there is a homicide problem. I want to be very clear about that. A jurisdiction with nearly a million people, 58 homicides, again, is too many. But it is substantially lower than we have seen in the past.
One of the issues that has come up recently, this came up yesterday in a report from News 4. Also, it came up a couple of months ago on WUSA about the body cameras. What is your understanding of the status of the body camera issue for police officers?
So the body cameras in Prince George's County, we have them in all of our police districts. At least one squad in each police district currently have the body cameras. We have made investments to continue to grow our body camera program. As you know, I was the former state's attorney, and so nobody understands more than I do the value of a body camera. We do value them. They're very important not only to investigate the case, but they really do help us to understand what happened. So we invested about $750,000 in this last budget cycle to make sure that we're able to build out the infrastructure. The most important part of any body camera program is the data, the infrastructure to build out, to be able to capture the data. It's very expensive. So we made the $750,000 investment in that, and we're continuing to build out the body cameras throughout the department, but we do have them in each of the districts in our department.
It's my understanding that there are approximately, 80 body cameras for the 1,500 or so officers, but this program, pilot program, however you want to describe it, has been going on for several years. There were activists yesterday in the reports on News 4 that were saying, what's taking so long? when so many other jurisdictions have them. Even, I believe, just a couple of weeks ago, Fairfax County even announced that their program is moving forward. Why can't we do it now? Beyond the infrastructure, the storage piece, which, of course, needs to come first, obviously.
It does, and we are doing it now. So it's very important for me to let the public know we do have a body camera program. So it is not the case that we are not doing it. What we're doing is continuing to add to it each year. And you know what? The truth of the matter is we have a $4 billion budget. 82% of that budget goes to crime and education. We have about 18% left after that. And we make decisions every year about how we use those resources. And so the $750,000 investment we made last year happened to go to the most expensive part of the body camera program, again, which was to capture the data. It's impossible to have a body camera program without the data, the infrastructure. So building that and continuing to add those cameras will make another investment in that program in the upcoming budget cycle until we have the full deployment of the body camera. But we also have, in addition to body cameras, we have the car cams, and we have more of those than almost any other jurisdiction in the state of Maryland. So we have the most robust program in terms of cameras, in-car cameras. And so we are capturing this information, even, for example, in the case of Hyattsville, body cameras were used in that particular incident. So it is not the case that we don't have the body cameras. We're continuing to build the program.
How soon would you like to see all 1,500 or so officers have them?
As soon as we are able to continue to make, as soon as we can make the investment, and we're making it every budget cycle until we have the full deployment. In the last cycle, one of the decisions we made was to add additional officers, and so we added about 100 additional officers in addition to the investment we made on the body camera. So again, we have to make important decisions about the resources that we have. And to give you an example, again, nearly a million people in our jurisdiction, a $4 billion budget. If you compare us, for example, to Washington, D.C., where their budget is in excess of $14 billion. So the $4 billion that we have for everything in Prince George's County is what covers social services alone in Washington, D.C. So that gives you some idea about the difficulty of making decisions about the resources that we have.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking all things Prince George's County with County Executive Angela Alsobrooks. If you have a question or if you have a comment, give us a call. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Zero. I want to move to the issue about Westphalia. Were you disappointed at what happened with the Amazon warehouse situation?
You know what? I think we're always disappointed when we have a company as large as Amazon and we weren't able to have them come into the county at this point. But what I can tell you is that it was a business decision. That Amazon had a very tight timeline for when they wanted to bring that particular project out of the ground. The community had significant concerns about it and filed an appeal. And that appeal would take Amazon beyond the timeline that they were working on, and they decided to seek another location. So we continue to be in conversation with Amazon. We were talking to so we and they are they've expressed an interest, a continued interest in the county. And we will continue to look for locations for other Amazon products. We continue to be in conversation with them. And we look forward to being able to have Amazon in Prince George's County. But that particular location did not work out. It was not a suitable location. And we have to continue to look for others.
Where else might there be an option for that? Why not the Landover Mall site, the old Landover Mall site, which is still available for any and everything, it appears?
Well, Amazon told us that they did actually look at that site, and they did not find that that site was suitable for various reasons. But there are other sites in the county that would be ideal to have, not just a product like the one they were bringing, but there are other products. They have a data center product that we are interested in. So they have other Amazon products that we feel we have ample sites to accommodate.
How do you feel about some of the criticism about this Amazon situation when you're talking about what happened in Prince George's as well as what is happening in Northern Virginia, where there was a big hubbub about the high-tech campus where Amazon was touting jobs that were starting at $100,000 a year, going up to as much as $150,000. And during this campaign, which was obviously a warehouse where they were touting jobs that were considerably less hourly jobs instead of salaried jobs. Did that in any way, shape, give you pause or give you concern about the image of these two particular deals as they were the juxtaposition of these issues, the optics?
Well, if you're asking whether we prefer to have $100,000 plus jobs for our residents, the answer is absolutely yes. And we believe that we have the talent to be able to sustain a headquarters, which is why we competed for it. We have not only the talent there, but we also have the education assets with the University of Maryland College Park. As you know, the headquarters in Virginia is connected to Virginia Tech, but we would put the University of Maryland College Park next to it any day. So we know that we have the talent. We know we have the education assets. We also have the location. And so we believe that we remain competitive, and we, of course, wanted to have the 100, the jobs that were six-figure jobs for our residents, and we will continue to seek out opportunities to have. Again, there are multiple types of Amazon products. Some of them bring the jobs that are in that range. Some bring other opportunities, but we continue to talk to them and are still interested in having them in Prince George's.
Any other possible sites that you would be willing to share with us tonight as a possible location for that warehouse beyond where it did not go?
Well, I think they already have selected an alternative site for that particular product, and so we'll be looking at other products, not that warehouse product. I believe they already have an alternative site for. So our conversations are involving other types of Amazon products, not that warehouse product, but another type of product.
Such as?
The data center product that we're talking about. We also have some other businesses that are in Washington State that are affiliated with Amazon that we're looking at having come here. And so other contractors who benefit from Amazon products. So those are the kinds of things that we're looking at.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Prince George's County's County Executive, Angela Alsobrooks, about all things Prince George's County. If you have a comment or a question for the County Executive, give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Viola calling from Hyattsville. Viola, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Oh, good afternoon. And hello, Angela. This is Viola Gonzalez.
Oh, good afternoon, Viola.
Hi. So I really have a question about the rezoning. My property is located in Hyattsville, and I recently received notification that all of Prince George's pretty much is being rezoned, except the city of Laurel, I believe it was. And I'm just curious of what the nature of that rezoning, because it didn't really give me much information as to why that rezoning was necessary. And my concern is that in the neighborhood that I have property in Hyattsville, it's very residential. We enjoy that kind of down-home feeling that we have there. So if the rezoning is for purposes of commercializing much of the Hyattsville area, then, of course, that's a concern, depending on the nature of that commercialism.
So the zoning rewrite that you're talking about is one that the county council has undertaken. It was necessary because it had not been redone, really, in decades, and so it was a little outdated. And part of what it considers is a plan to focus on transit-oriented development in the county, a plan that anticipates allowing Prince Georgians to be able to work, live, and shop in their very own neighborhoods. And so the zoning rewrite considers that kind of thing. And it also considers ways to alleviate traffic and congestion and pressure on our infrastructure. So we are focused now around the 15 metro stations and ensuring that we have walkable spaces and that we have that we're considering, for example, how to create density in certain areas. And so it is a part of the economic development plan, but it is designed to improve really amenities for Prince Georgians and to encourage more Prince Georgians to be able to stay at home, to work, to shop, to live. So that's what that zoning rewrite is about.
Viola, thank you so much for your question. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You wanted to talk about the 2020 census, which is for April, I believe, or February of next year. Please share your thoughts about that.
So I want everyone to hear me. The census is so critically important to Prince George's County. That census count will occur on April 1st, and we are gearing up for it now. In the last census, Prince George's County was one of the most undercounted jurisdictions in the state of Maryland, and it cost us more than $36 million per year over the last 10 years. So that's $363 million that the county lost because we did not count really more than 20,000 people. That $363 million affects us in many, many areas, including federal programming dollars for children's, for lunches, for insurance, for Medicare, for seniors. And so it is critically important that every Prince Georgian will be counted in the next census count. And so we are kicking off a block party on October 22nd at the Ritchie Station. But we want Prince Georgians to be well aware that this is happening, that it is very important. We want people to know it's very easy to be counted. You can do so online. You can also do so by mail. But we'll make sure we're in the process of educating Prince Georgians about the process and making sure that everyone is counted. We cannot afford to lose that $36 million per year that we lost in federal funding because we were not counted.
Need to take a break. When we come back, I want to drill down more about the census and some other issues in Prince George's County. So please stay with us. If you're on the phone, do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, and we will be taking your phone calls in just a bit. So stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. Up next, the original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown on WHUR. But this conversation continues on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a bit.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship of refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Hi, I'm Jay Schutte, an American farmer, giving back to agricultural leadership of tomorrow with $2,500 I won through the America's Farmers Grow Communities Program, sponsored by the Monsanto Fund. I really benefited from agricultural leadership of tomorrow as a young professional. I encourage farmers to support their favorite nonprofit through the Grow Communities Program. Enroll now. Visit www.growcommunities.com or call 877-267-3332.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all. The gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation with Prince George's County's County Executive Angela Alsobrooks, talking all things Prince George's County. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ben, calling from Fort Washington. Thanks for calling, Ben. What's on your mind?
Well, I have more a two-part question about county revenue and the blight issue. About the signs that are all over the county, we buy houses, we braid hair, we front junk cars. Why can't we locate the owners, the phone numbers are registered to, and find them? to go toward generating revenue and to discourage people from putting those signs up in the first place. It makes the county look like a circus. And the part two of my question is, I live in Fort Washington. I see more Virginia, so many Virginia tags. I don't know whether I live in Arlington or Fort Washington. These people are not paying their fair share of taxes. What can be done about getting people to register their vehicles where they live? They live on my street and they have Virginia tags. What could be done so their tag revenue could go toward helping the county and they pay their fair share of state and county taxes?
Hmm. Well, Ben, I thank you, first of all, for calling. You know what? You are singing our music. So you talked about the signs, and this has been an area that we've made a major push in terms of our litter program and our beautification program in the county. And so one of the things that we've done through the Department of Public Works and Transportation is to actually call the people whose names and phone numbers are on those unsightly signs that you mentioned that are on our roadways. And we actually sent robocalls to them, alerting them that they are not to put those signs in our roadways. We've also collected those signs, and I hope you will begin to notice an improvement. But we have really gotten the word out that is not a place to advertise, as you mentioned, your tutoring service, babysitting service, or that you buy and sell houses, power wash houses, or do whatever. It costs us $2 million per year to collect those unsightly signs. And so this has been a major push and campaign for us, is to tell people to stop polluting our roadways and those median areas. And so we've been really working on beautification and collecting litter, and that's been one of the areas that we've been targeting. I don't know, you talked about the people with the tags from Virginia. Without more information, I don't know whether these are people who live there or just people. We're very close, as you know, to Virginia down in that Fort Washington area. We hope that some of those people are actually coming over to spend their money at the National Harbor or shopping at the Tanger Outlets or doing something else like that. But there is a timeline for people to convert their tags to Maryland tags. And if that is not happening, then we have the ability to enforce through the Revenue Authority to make sure that people are compliant with the laws.
Ben, let me ask you, because I find that last question rather fascinating. While you may see these tags from Maryland or Virginia or D.C. or other parts, how do you know that they aren't just visiting or passing through? This is
because you see them every day.
When you say see them, you mean in your neighborhood or driving?
Yes.
Through
every single day you see them every day. I am a mailman. They don't have those military stickers to show that they're stationed at Andrews. That's different if you're military.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about people that live here and have Maryland licenses and get cars registered in Virginia, and they're not registering their tags in Maryland. They're not paying the taxes here.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about Tanger Outlets or MGM. I'm not talking about visitors. I'm talking about people you see every single day. My odds of hitting the Powerball are better than that, seeing people every day in the neighborhood with the same car.
What about that, Madam County Executive? Because I feel his pain, but the DMV, which also includes in some ways Baltimore, this is a really transient area. Even, you know, for those who are, you know, the gainfully employed, you have people moving back and forth. That seems to be a hard thing to enforce.
Cool thing to enforce. But you know what, Ben, I would like for you, if possible, to stay on the line so we can get your information. And let me have someone from our Revenue Authority to follow up with you to address your specific concerns in your neighborhood. This is something I'm very familiar with. Of course, I was executive director of the county's Revenue Authority, and we enforce the laws you're talking about. So if you can stay on the line, I'd just like to take down your information and have someone call you back to address your direct concerns. But I also want to let you know, you talked about those signs that we did just 2 weeks ago. I want you to know we collected 5,000 of the signs that you're talking about during one of our litter blitzes. So we are really on top of those signs that you talked about in the medians. But please stay on the line. I want to get your name and number, and I'll have someone call you from our county's Revenue Authority.
Thank you so much, Ben, for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Do we have John calling from D.C.? John on the line. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing today?
Doing just fine.
Okay, my question is concerning gun registration. My understanding is D.C. residents are now able to carry concealed weapons. Is Maryland going to follow that leadership? They tend to follow D.C. leadership on certain things. So I was wondering what's her position on gun registration in the county, and is she in favor of letting people get concealed weapons without having some type of excuse to have a concealed weapon?
Did you understand what his question? He was asking about your opinion about concealed weapons and what, how you feel about whether or not people should be able to, in the state of Maryland, to have concealed weapons as they are in D.C.
Well, I can tell you that we are very aggressive about weapons in Prince George's County. We have just seen our crime rate come down to historic levels. And I can tell you that there would be very little appetite for loosening any of the gun laws in our county because we are, of course, really interested in keeping the crime rate low. And guns remain in every jurisdiction a major issue that contributes to crime and to homicides in particular. So I can tell you that there would be very little appetite among our residents to relax the gun laws there.
Okay. Thank you so much for your phone call, John. Let's go to Sydney, calling from Upper Marlboro. Sydney, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. What's on my mind is the school bus system in PG. Apparently, since the school year had begun, the bus has been late continuously on a daily basis. My daughter is late for her first class almost every day, and pick up also late in getting home. So what could be done about that? Because we are about a month in the school year, and it's still continuously happening.
Well, I thank you so much for calling, Sydney, and I am really sorry that that you've been inconvenienced in that way. That's terrible to hear. I know that we have had difficulty with the buses. I know that we've had a shortage at times in terms of bus drivers. But what I would like to do is, if you can stay on the line, can I get your information? And I will have someone from my office give you a call so I can find out specifically which bus route your child travels on and see whether I can get you some information about it. Okay, I'd like to look into the particular. If you're saying your daughter's late for school every day, that is completely unacceptable. So if you would stay on the line, please, I'd like to get your information so I can have someone follow up with you from our school system.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Sydney. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking to Prince George's County executives, Angela Alsobrooks, all things Prince George's County. I want to piggyback on Sydney's question. Do you have an update, and you may not, but do you have an update on the status of the bus drivers for the school bus transportation? As he suggested in the beginning of the year, there was a shortage of drivers.
Yeah, there was a shortage of drivers, and you know what? I actually have to get an update on that. I know that it's a situation that we continue to address, and there have been many options on the table. I know that our school CEO, Dr. Golson, has been working to resolve this particular issue. But hearing from Sydney and other parents means that it is obviously unresolved. If we still have children who are arriving late and the buses are late, this is an area that we have to continue to work to resolve.
I'm going to finish that conversation that we had before the break when you were talking about the census, and you were saying that during the last census that Prince George's County was undercounted. Why do you believe that is?
Well, we have a large, first of all, immigrant population. And I think that many of our residents who are in the immigrant population are concerned about whether or not their information is secure, whether or not they will be reported to ICE. So part of the information that we're getting out is to assure our residents that we do not report that information to ICE, that there is no citizenship question on the census. But that's the kind of thing that keeps people from being counted. We also have kids who have to be counted. So there are vulnerable populations that are not counted, and some of it has to do with just information, people not having the right information, education. So we are really investing at this point in an education campaign, working with our faith community, working with the schools, working with our community leaders to make sure that the information gets out and that we don't see that undercount again. But it was a significant undercount, and some of it has to do with our immigrant population.
And with that said, though, considering the current political climate, and the census being a federal government responsibility. This is not Prince George's County. This is not a state of Maryland. This is the federal government. And I repeat, considering the present political climate as it relates to the immigrant population, undocumented or otherwise, how might you or your counterparts in other parts of this region push back against those fears?
You know, part of it is developing trust with the community, and we have made, I hope, significant strides in that regard. So, for example, we recently, a few months ago, issued a whole statement around the policy that we have in our county that we do not cooperate with the federal government in enforcing immigration. Enforcing immigration is a federal mandate. It is the responsibility of the federal government, and it is not appropriate for local government to participate in assisting in immigration enforcement. And so we wanted to make that clear, and we also took the additional step of training our police department so that they understand as well what their responsibilities are with respect to ICE and immigration. And we only notify ICE when we have individuals who have either been charged with violent crimes or convicted of violent crimes. Even in that instance, we do not hold an individual upon release, but we have an obligation to notify ICE when we have an individual who has been convicted of a violent crime or charged with a violent crime. But outside of those two instances, we do not participate in immigration enforcement. And it was important for us to let our community know that so that they do not fear us. This is very damaging for us to be able to keep our community safe, for people fear interacting with the police department, domestic violence, and other issues. But that's part of what we do to encourage people to participate in the census and other things if they understand that they are safe at home and that the government is not there to enforce immigration laws.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kevin, calling from Upper Marlboro, what's on your mind?
Hi, yes. This is kind of between a question and a suggestion. I am currently a caregiver for someone who is disabled. And so when I've contacted both the County Office of Aging as well as the state of Maryland, well, actually, when I contacted the state of Maryland, they referred me back to the county. But long story short, basically, there are programs to assist caregivers and the disabled if you're of low income. But for those of us that are middle working class, you know, we're kind of knocked out of the picture because the response we always get is that our income is too high. And so right now, I am currently paying, what I'm paying for home health aides for my spouse who is disabled actually exceeds my monthly mortgage. And so if there is a way for us to get any type of assistance, because I do understand that, you know, if you're of low income, you should get, you know, a full level of assistance. But for those of us that are putting out a lot of money for home health aides and equipment and that type of thing, it would be kind of nice or beneficial if the county could step in and say, well, you know, you don't get, I don't know, 100% assistance, but we can give you, you know, 40% assistance, 35, 60 or whatever percentage is. And I just kind of want to know your thoughts about that.
Well, you know what, without knowing more about your particular situation, what I can tell you is that there we do have help for members of our community who are disabled, and some of it is not in direct payment, but I know that we provide assistance in getting some of the supplies that are necessary, for example. So what I would like to do is to get your information, Kevin. Can I do that and connect you with someone from our Department of Family Services where they can give you?
Yes.
Yeah, our producer will take care of that for you, Kevin. You don't have to give it on the air. Just stay on the line, and our producer will pick up your phone call, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to talk about something that happened today, and this kind of goes to the heart of what everyone is concerned about, employment, jobs, and the like, and this workforce development site that officially opened today around the National Harbor. For those who did not have a chance to hear about that, what is that about?
So it's an amazing job center that's opening at National Harbor. And what it does is, first of all, we have about 10,000 jobs that go unfilled every month. And so this center gives us a central location, especially for people who live in the southern part of the county, where they can go and get information about the jobs that are available. They can also get training and other help in terms of workforce development. So it is a whole center that our employee Prince George's County oversees, and it provides job seekers help in finding jobs, but it also does something else that is really important.
Hold on, let me stop you. You said overseas?
Well, no, employee Prince George's County actually brought the job center there, and they assist job seekers in finding jobs, connecting them with opportunities in the county. We have a good number of jobs that people just never apply for.
Okay, you said overseas. You may have misspoken, but please go ahead.
Yes, and so they assist there, and they are also connected to our school system so that our juniors and seniors in high school, we can begin to work with some of our kids who are not interested in going to college, but have various skill sets to help them not only sharpen their skill sets, but to also identify pathways and opportunities for them after high school. So the job center helps those who are seeking to get into the job market. It also helps those who, for whatever reason, have gotten out of the job market and need additional training to get back in it. But it is a way for us, especially as we begin to grow and develop in the county, to ensure that we're sharpening the workforce and then we have those employees ready for businesses that are coming into the county.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the future of this kind of program as far as enriching, the tax base? Because obviously you want people to work, you want them to be, you know, employed, you want the county to grow. But what is your particular vision as far as that kind of job and economic development, how those things play?
So the American Job Center, part of what it helps us do, again, is as we develop. So we have multiple development projects that are coming to the county right now, in New Carrollton, Largo, and Suitland, and Marlow Heights. But what we have to be able to do as we grow the businesses is to ensure the business community that we also have a trained workforce who can take those jobs and perform well in those jobs. So the American Job Center at National Harbor goes a long way toward preparing our residents to take those jobs and also to provide them the ongoing training that they will need to be successful in the jobs. And so it's a two-pronged approach. It is not only attracting business and retaining businesses, but making sure that we have a ready workforce that is prepared to take advantage of those opportunities.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the other things that has come up, this is actually a bit of a sports question, but it's also about economic development. There's been a lot of concern or discussion in the district about the dismantling of RFK and discussions about possibly putting a new stadium there or bringing Washington's football team back to D.C. and leaving FedEx Field. Your thoughts about that?
Well, we're interested in keeping the Redskins in Prince George's County. And so I know the Redskins, as far as I know, have not made a final decision about where they will take the team after 2026. But we remain interested in keeping them in Prince George's County. Again, there are a good number of options that we have. They can always rebuild where they are. We also have other sites that we think would be ideal sites for the Redskins. And so we'll remain in conversation, and we are interested in keeping them in Prince George's, provided it is beneficial to our residents. We would love to have an area where during the week, even when the games are not happening, we're able to develop in such a way that shopping can happen and dining. And so we want, in other words, a mixed-use sort of project that would allow people to enjoy the team but also enjoy all the amenities and shopping and dining that they would otherwise, entertainment that they would be interested in during the week as well.
How do you have an idea of just even at this early juncture, because these kinds of things take a long time to develop, I'm sure, as you know, what you would be willing to do to keep the team in Prince George's County, when you've got You've got bargaining chips in Prince George's. Obviously, you may have bargaining chips with the support of Annapolis, but also, you know, DC is DC. So, do you already have any kind of strategy for trying to make sure that the team stays in Prince George's?
We have a number of tools that we're able to use, and we're also part of the benefit is that we also have the state government that is interested likewise in retaining the Redskins in the state of Maryland. So we will not only work around the tools that we have available in the county, but we'll also work with the state of Maryland to continue the discussions that will be mutually beneficial both to the team and to our county.
Any suggestions as to improving the season?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I don't know. They've already made one decision last week to change the leadership. So we'll see how that goes. But we are, you know, faithful fans, you know, and that's one advantage the Redskins do have is they have the most faithful fan base, I think, of any organization. So we remain hopeful. We're going to have a new coach soon. And go Redskins.
Well, if they don't have a winning season, you can always say they didn't ask me. I want to go back to, and I'm a fan. I want to go. Doesn't sound like it. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Frank calling from Maryland. Frank, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Frank, are you there?
Hello.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yes,
please.
I am.
Go ahead.
Okay. I am calling to find out why I could not get assistance from the now county executive when she was state's attorney. I was in a meeting, one of the sessions that you have with elderly residents. I received an invitation and I went down there. My home had been illegally foreclosed on. And when I say illegally, they did a foreclosure on my property when I was at work at the VA, moved in and took all of my property after it had been stopped, took my items and everything. And when I tried to get assistance from you specifically and from your assistant that you referred me to, I got nowhere. I got nothing. The police report I filed was, quote unquote, lost. And then they said it was, oh, maybe it was archived. The possessions that I had that were stolen, they said they don't know anything about them. They can't track them down because they didn't have a police report. When I tried to go through the FBI and get a report filed with them, they told me I needed to get documentation from you all, and you all refused to give it to me. That is your office as state's attorney. I am still missing all these items today. So when someone steals all your property, throws you out of your house, and they conducted this illegal foreclosure in the state of Virginia, not here.
What? You said Virginia?
In Virginia.
Okay, this is the Prince George's County Executive in Maryland.
I know that. That's my point. I live in PJ County. Okay.
Well, then, don't you think that you should probably? I'm not sure I understand how whether you live in Prince George's, but the house that you're talking about and items were in Virginia.
Listen to me closely.
I'm trying to. Please go right ahead.
Let me finish. It was an illegal sale conducted when the property was supposedly going to go up for auction on the following day at the Upper Marlboro County seat.
I see.
But it never came up. It didn't come up because they conducted a sale, a private sale in Virginia. And I know this because a stranger who worked there at the lawyer's office called me up and told me they were doing it at the time.
Let me see if the county executive can at least try to address this. This is a really complex situation.
Oh, thank you so much, sir, for calling in this evening, and I'm sorry for the inconvenience that you described here. What I would like to do is to get more information from you, and if you would permit us to have your contact information, then I'd like to have somebody that'd be able to talk with you more specifically about what has happened and see what kind of information I can get you.
Yeah. Please stay on the line. And someone will get your information and so that you can have someone reach out. I only have, gosh, that sounds really, really complex. I only have a minute or so left. As we are, this is probably likely the last time that we may talk to you in the studio before the end of the year. What are your plans as we get closer to 2020, politically, civically, or otherwise? What do you want to see for the county as we move to the end of 2019?
Oh my gosh, we are so excited about the progress we've already seen. So we're working to continue to deliver what we promised: a robust government that is responsive. And I say that, for example, with 311, our citizens call when they have concerns. We have managed to have a system that used to be 3 minutes and 40 something seconds before you could even get your call answered, but now in 17 seconds it's answered. We're working to continue to deliver a school system that is focused on children and their needs. We increased, for example, this last year, pre-K seats, 4,500 additional seats. So we'll continue to work to build new schools. We're working to fund our schools and fund teacher salaries, litter blitzes that you've been seeing. So all of the things that we promised, we're working every single day to deliver them to our residents, and especially to have them feel the power of their tax dollars. That's really what we've been focused on, and that's why beautification is important. That's why having people actually see us out and about in their communities. We've attended over 500 community meetings since we were elected last December. So really being present, listening, being accountable, that's what people can continue to expect from us. And we'll be working to end the year again with crime low, and making sure, again, that residents understand economic development, that we're closing the gap on these food deserts. You see many of the projects such as Ivy City Smokehouse that's coming over to the Hampton Park Mall. So this is what's important to us, just continuing to deliver what we promised.
Angela, also Brooks, County Executive for Prince George's County. Thanks for coming in. I appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
And good luck to you as always.
Thank you so much.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, October 10th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.